5 years have passed since I gave up the wardenship of Hiram's hospital. It was hard, so very hard, to leave that place and to bid farewell to the old man there. But I was right to leave, I'm certain, and I was not unhappy, not for some while. I continued as choirmaster at the cathedral and took delight in doing so. Took delight as well in my daughter Eleanor's marriage to Mr. John Bold. He was a good man, a worthy man. But John Bold is dead. And his death has been a double grief to me, because he was my friend, and because his death so grieved my daughter. And it is, I fear, not to be the end of my sorrows.
Barchester Towers by Anthony Trollope. Dramatized for radio by Martin Wade. Starring Alec McCowan as Septimus Harding, Juliet Aubrey as Eleanor, Simon Russell Beale as Slope, Rosemary Leach as Mrs. Proudie, Stephen Moore as Dr. Grantley, Belinda Lang as Madeline, and David Horovitch as Dr. Proudie. Episode 1.
Well, Sir Lander. Well, Sir Omicron.
Well, Dr. Grantley.
Well, Dr. Grantley.
I think...
We think...
that it is quite beyond the realms of possibility that your father should live for another week.
You think so?
A week is the very most that one can hope for.
But, gentlemen, a week ago you came here and said that there wasn't the remotest chance of him enduring till today.
We believed it was...
unlikely.
A week before that, similarly, 7 days was all that could be envisaged.
That is true. But you see, Archdeacon, we assess the patient's body.
We cannot always anticipate the tenacity of the human spirit.
Indeed. Only... you must understand, it is so very painful for me.
Of course.
Of course.
To watch my dear father fighting this grim battle. To be advised that he will gain blessed release and then to find...
Of course.
Be assured, Dr. Grantley, your father will not see out another week.
That's certain.
Quite certain.
Quite certain.
Amidst our distress, there has inevitably been some talk of the succession. My understanding of these things is limited, but I gather that there is a very strong chance that the bishopric will pass from father to son. I am certain that Dr. Grantley is eminently suited to the episcopal throne of Barchester. He has, to all intents and purposes, been sat on it himself for a good long time. And I gather that Dr. Grantley is a close friend of the master of one of the Oxford colleges, Lazarus it is, I believe, and that the master of this college is a friend, perhaps even a close friend, of the Prime Minister. But whether that is of much significance, I don't know. Perhaps not, given the present plight of the government.
Just one more thing, gentlemen, before you go. Any... news from London?
Concerning the ministry, you mean?
Yes.
Well, we have public news.
The ministry will survive.
Ah.
And we have private information. It will fall within 5 days.
Oh. I think... 5 days. I think... Of course, they could be as mistaken about the life expectancy of the government as they have been about that of my father.
I think it must be...
But what if it came to pass? What if, say, the Prime Minister was out of office or on his way out and my father was still living?
I think it must be an appropriate hour for a glass of wine.
What?
Wine.
Yes, very well. Perhaps if you were to pass on within a week of the government passing on, not all would be lost.
It might take as long as a week before a new cabinet were formed, and in that case, the outgoing Prime Minister surely would continue to make Episcopal and other appointments. Wouldn't he?
My Lord.
Thank you, Archdeacon. One thing I do know. If the ministry does fall with me not yet appointed bishop, a second chance won't come my way.
Oh, my Lord Bishop, why? Why could you not? Since you must, in any event, very soon, why therefore could it not be now? Today? Oh, my Lord Bishop, I want the appointment so very, very much. Do you not think I deserve it? Could you not oblige me? Could you...
No. No, 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 no. That was very wrong of me. Very wrong indeed. Oh.
Almighty God, I kneel before you and beseech your forgiveness. I have sinned. I have entertained iniquitous thoughts, perverted thoughts. I repent myself of them. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me.
Oh, it's you, Harding.
I have disturbed you at your prayers. I am so sorry.
No, no, that's quite all right. Come in, Harding, come in.
Your father is asleep?
Yes. I think so.
This must be such a very great trial for you.
Oh, hardly.
Dear Archdeacon.
Harding. Harding, is that you?
Yes, Bishop.
God bless you, Harding. God bless you both, my dear. Dear children.
I believe it is all over.
Yes. He is gone.
Oh, that our last moments may be as innocent and peaceful as his. He was a fine, dear old man.
Yes.
You cannot but be relieved that it is finished.
Indeed, we have all waited so long.
Come, Harding. Quickly, into the other room.
Why, what is it, Archdeacon?
Quickly, quickly, there must be no delay.
The Bishop of Barchester is dead. There, that says it all, I think.
Yes.
If you would be good enough to take it to the telegraph office at the station...
Of course.
Oh, a message sent by the Reverend Septimus Harding.
Why have you put my name to the message, Archdeacon?
Harding, it must come from someone, and what name so proper as that of an old friend of the bishop?
Ah, right.
And pray don't waste any time.
No. Very well. Oh, I've just remembered.
Remembered what, Harding?
I had intended to give you some news, but then...
What news?
Chadwick asked me to pass it on to you.
Yes?
It came by electric telegraph.
Well?
The ministry are out. I know only a little about the new Bishop of Barchester. I've heard it said that Dr. Proudie inclines more to the low church than to the high, but that he is generally of a tolerating disposition. I trust, anyway, that there will be no obstacle to my being on reasonably good terms with him.
Morning.
Morning, Archdeacon.
Not been waiting long, I hope.
Not at all. Very good of you to accompany me.
No, no, we must both make ourselves known to the new... to Dr. Proudie. So we may as well do it together and share the ordeal.
Ordeal? It will not be that, surely.
Oh, it will, Harding. Believe me. Were you aware that the man was a member of the interdenominational conference that included in its number the Presbyterian Synod of Ulster?
No.
Were you aware that he was honorary secretary to the Commission of Inquiry into the Revenues of Cathedral Chapters?
No.
Mind you, he is not the real enemy.
I gather that in pretty well all things, he is governed by his wife.
Oh, indeed.
And to avoid the risk of exercising any of his own judgment at all, he has now appointed his own chaplain. Or rather, his wife has. You must be Dr. Grantly.
I am Dr. Grantly.
Come in, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Proudie and Mrs. Proudie will be here very soon. My name is Obadiah Slope, and I am the bishop's domestic chaplain.
I supposed you might be. The room, Harding.
Yes.
Has acquired a new sofa, a chintz sofa.
I have heard much about your splendid work, Dr. Grantly. You are resident at Plumstead Episcopi, I believe.
I am. And the curtains have been changed.
How very fortunate the Plumstead residents must count themselves to have your good self among them.
Perhaps, though I like to think that my influence is also felt beyond the perimeters of Plumstead.
Yes, I'm sure you do. Forgive me, your colleague's name is not known to me.
Harding.
Pleased to meet you.
Mr. Harding is choirmaster at the cathedral and former warden of Hiram's Hospital.
Oh, yes. Hiram's Hospital. A curious business, that. The gentleman who first raised questions about the hospital's finances,
Mr. Bold.
He was a close acquaintance of yours, I think.
He was, and became a relative, too. He married my younger daughter.
What sudden changes life thrusts upon us. I am a mother now, and I am a widow too. Oh, John, you were the most perfect treasure with which a woman could be endowed. You were all in all to me, and you are gone. Sweet boy. Sweet. Dearest boy, with your plump legs and fat little fists. Sweet little John Bold. You are all in all to me now.
The bishop is obliged to return to London next week in connection with his work for the manufacturing town's morning and evening Sunday school society.
Indeed, Mrs. Proudie.
Yes, I am honored to be the society's director.
President.
President, yes, thanks.
Talking of Sabbath day schools, Dr. Grantly, are the arrangements for them generally pretty good in your archdeaconry?
Sabbath day schools, Mr. Slope? There are no arrangements. Yeah. Depends mainly upon each parson's wife and daughters. We've no such school at Plumstead, I can tell you that much.
Well, that's not strictly true, Archdeacon. Mrs. Grantly, she is my elder daughter, you know. She runs a very fine...
No, Harding. That is simply a school which she happens to run on a Sunday. But it is not a Sunday school at all.
Ah, I see.
By the by, I have a copy of Bradshaw here, and it tells me that there are 3 trains into Barchester on the Sabbath and 3 trains out. Do you not think, Dr. Grantly, that something should be done to induce the railway company to diminish this evil?
I don't know. Perhaps if you can withdraw the passengers, then the company will withdraw the trains. It's a question of dividends.
No, surely. It is very much more than that. Surely it is a question of the eradication of sinfulness.
Well, as you wish. Dr. Proudie.
Do you not agree, Mr. Harding?
Yes. I trust, Dr. Proudie, that the palace repairs have been effected to your satisfaction.
Repairs? Oh, yes. On the whole, I rather think so, yes. Certainly no real ground for complaint.
Well, there is one point, Mr. Archdeacon, since you have raised the issue of necessary improvements. The stalls in the second stable are then quite insufficient. So many of the bishop's relatives bring their own horses, you see.
And also, Dr. Grantly, we are not satisfied with the arrangement in the palace regarding gas and hot water.
Gas?
No, there must be pipes for gas and hot water throughout the entire building. Now, must there not, my lord?
No, certainly gas, hot water is central.
Now, Mr. Harding, you were about to offer your opinion concerning Sabbath travelling.
Yes, I have also found, Dr. Grantly, that the coping on the garden wall is in places imperfect.
Well, Mrs. Proudie, I was simply going to say that I hope all those who work for the railways have the opportunity of going to church if they wish to.
Oh, but surely, surely, Mr. Harding, our duties with regard to the Sabbath ask much more of us than that. No manner of work, neither thou nor thy manservant nor thy maid.
Also, there is a large hole, Dr. Grantly, in the servants' quarters caused by a rat.
We must not have rats.
We detest that. Surely, surely, Mr. Harding.
Also, Dr. Grantly, the locks on some of the outhouses are very imperfect.
As are those on the doors of the servants' rooms.
Mr. Slope. You must understand that I inquired about the condition of the building simply as a point of politeness and compliment. Please refer your list of items to the diocesan architect. Harding.
Yes, Archdeacon.
I think it is time for us to offer our goodbyes.
Good heavens! Good heavens! I don't think I shall ever watch like that, Mrs. Proudie.
Like her?
Oh. Like her? She is a hell hag.
Nor, I'm afraid, do I care greatly for Mr. Slope.
An abomination, Harding, an utter abomination.
Sabbath day school, Sabbath travelling.
But the bishop seems, well, quiet enough, fellow.
The bishop is an idiot, a puppet. I'll not talk about him. He's beneath contempt.
So what are we to do about Slope, then?
Do, Archdeacon?
How are we to get rid of the bestial, impudent, canting, low-bred Slope?
Well, in truth, Archdeacon, I rather thought Mrs. Proudie was the worst of the two.
Harding, if a woman is detestable, one simply keeps out of her way. But I am not at all inclined to put up with Mr. Slope. It is men like him, you know, who will be the ruin of the Church of England.
Oh.
My text this morning is from the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy.
The choir acquitted themselves very well, I think.
Chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
The extra practice I gained will have helped a little.
My very rare privilege to be giving this sermon today on the first Sunday after my Lord the Bishop's consecration.
And I suppose we were all to some degree encouraged by the sense of occasion.
It is, I know, with the bishop's firm endorsement that I now address you.
I do wish,
though. These thoughts I am about to give you are his thoughts. These are his weighty opinions.
I do wish that Mr. Slope were not giving the sermon today.
I make no apology for choosing St. Paul's words as my text, nor do I apologize for addressing my remarks first and in particular to those who have been entrusted with the task of directing the spiritual progress of the people of Barchester. For if the shepherds are led astray, what hope is there for the flock?
Oh, dear. Is this, I wonder, to be an attack on Dr. Grantly?
If the mode of worship be not decent and moderate and without excess of feeling, then into what perversions will our church descend?
An attack on me too, perhaps.
Outward ceremonies belong to a barbarous past, to a time when churchmen supposed that they must present a show in order to capture the simple minds of the people. But now, The Christian has a reason for his faith. He believes because he understands why in this age need we deck out the words of our Lord with mummery and music.
Yes, decidedly an attack on me.
It is all too easy to be won over by melody, to be uplifted by the vocal soaring of a cathedral choir. But must we let music, meretricious charms, obstruct our ears to the simple beauty of the Book of Truth?
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Harding, it is war.
Is it, Archdeacon?
Mr. Slope must not be allowed to preach again in this cathedral. He has purposely insulted those of us in the diocese who have for years performed our religious duties without schism and with good repute, yourself included.
Yes, that is...
Good heavens, Harding, he has mounted a most vicious and nasty attack upon you and your position and your work.
Yes, yes, he has. And perhaps there is some substance to his criticism.
Oh, really?
So perhaps my life is about to be revealed a second time to be a useless sham.
Now listen, Warden.
No, no, Dr. Grantly, I am no longer Warden, and perhaps I should no longer be the cathedral's choirmaster.
That is madness. Good heavens, will you lie down and submit before the fight is commenced? Will Slope walk triumphant over the field? I tell you this, Harding. If Slope is for the abolition of all ritual, then I will propose that our ceremonies be multiplied 100 times over. There will be chanting and intoning, and then more chanting and intoning. A most toxic incense will be burnt. Genuflections and prostrations will be repeatedly performed, and vestments of the most violent colors will be worn. I shall do all I can, Harding, short of kissing the Pope's foot, to take the fight to Mr. Slope and to drive him from the precincts of our beloved cathedral.
I am so grateful to you for permitting me this visit.
Do take a seat, Mr. Slope.
I felt I ought to make your acquaintance at an early opportunity, but now that I'm here, I am certain that the occasion will be less a duty than a pleasure.
You are very kind.
It's the most charming baby you have, Mrs. Bowe.
Oh, yes. Not least when he is asleep.
His features bear a strong likeness to yours.
You think so?
Oh, most certainly. A charming boy. Mrs. Bowe, I hope that you will not think the subject too serious for drawing-room conversation, but... regarding the sermon that I gave last Sunday...
Yes, Mr. Slope.
I rather fear that it may have been ill-judged. It was certainly misunderstood.
Was it, Mr. Slope?
No, it was. I much regret it, Mrs. Bold. Regret most particularly that my words offended the feelings of a man of whom I cannot speak too highly. I mean, of course, your father. Dear lady... I have, I assure you, the highest admiration for Mr. Harding. What I said in the sermon was in no way intended to disparage him. I am deeply sorry that he has been hurt by my remarks, and that you, on his account, have suffered too. I trust your stay in town was a pleasant one, my lord?
Yes, very agreeable. Though it was unfortunate that I had to leave in such a... so soon after that very memorable service, Mr. Slope. I gather that it excited quite vigorous discussion within the diocese.
I would hope so, my lord. And also I hope it provoked some very earnest searching of souls and pondering of minds... I did not go up into the pulpit to proclaim that all was right and well, that errors had not been perpetrated.
No, I don't suppose that you did, Mr. Slope.
My lord, talking of errors, I wonder if I may bring up the name of Dr. Vesey Stanhope.
Yes, certainly. Who is Dr. Vesey Stanhope? Is he a member of the diocese?
Yes.
strictly speaking. He is at present your canon in residence, strictly speaking. While you were in town, my lord, I took the trouble to write to him at his villa on Lake Como, where he has been residing for a period not short of 12 years.
Lake Como, did you say?
Italy, my lord.
Yes, Mr. Slope, but if he is at present my canon in residence, why...
Why has he been residing at Lake Como?
Precisely.
The reason that was given for his going there, my lord, was that he wished to find a cure for his sore throat.
Sore throat?
Your predecessor was grievously lax, I fear. Permitted all sorts of slackness and irregularity. But things are different now. Things are very different, are they not, my lord?
Yes. Oh, yes. Certainly.
I advised Dr. Stanhope as much in my letter, informed him that there was no room now for waste and idleness, and that since we do not look favourably upon absent members of our clergy, we would feel obliged, if Dr. Stanhope persisted in neglecting his diocesan duties, to ensure that appropriate disciplinary steps were taken against him.
Disciplinary steps, yes, quite right. Has Dr. Stanhope responded at all?
He has, and with dispatch. It will not be too long, so I understand, before your canon in residence is truly in residence again.
Good, yes. Good.
It's possible that he might even have returned to Barchester by the time of Mrs. Proudie's grand party. Perhaps he and his family should be added to the list of invitations.
I would have much preferred it, Mr. Slope, if there had been no eating or drinking tonight. There's nothing quite so vulgar as eating and drinking, in my opinion.
Oh, Mrs. Proudie, I fear that it is rather expected of a bishop and his wife that they should at least provide the opportunity for light refreshments on an occasion such as this. But, as you requested, no chairs or tables have been put out.
What is the arrangement about wine?
I have purchased a satisfactory enough Marsala at 20 shillings a dozen. Mm-hmm. As for those very few guests for whom the Marsala would not be satisfactory enough... not there, please. My lord, excuse me, Mrs. Proudie. You are not to sit on the sofa, my lord.
Not?
No, if you please.
But there are no chairs. There is nowhere else that I can sit.
That is true, my lord, but you cannot sit there. That sofa is to be kept for a lady.
A lady? Do you mean a particular lady, Mr. Slope?
Yes, my lord. La Signora Madeline Visi Neroni.
La Signora who?
There's Dr. Grantly. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
You are in good health, I hope.
Oh, yes, Mr. Slope. I try not to let anything interfere with my health.
Mr. Slope, I don't believe you've met Dr. Stanhope.
Good evening.
Dr. Stanhope, very pleased. We know each other a little, do we not, through our correspondence?
Yes, indeed we do.
How was Italy?
Italy, Mr. Slope, was very well.
And how is your sore throat?
My sore throat? Yes. That is not so very well.
You brought your family with you, did you, when you returned to England?
Sadly, I did.
There is one son, I recall.
And two daughters.
Indeed, I trust Signora Neroni is still intending to be here tonight.
Oh, yes. They'll all be here.
Hi! Is this Signora Neroni's carriage by any chance?
It is. And Charlotte?
Signora Neroni.
Signora Neroni?
Not I, sir. I am Signora Neroni.
Oh, Signora Neroni. My name is Slope.
Of course it is.
I am the bishop's resident chaplain, and I am delighted to make your acquaintance.
How kind. Mr. Slope, this is my sister, Charlotte. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Slope. And the gentleman there is my brother, Bertie.
Hello. Good evening.
I received your exceedingly pretty note, Signora Neroni.
So glad.
And I am pleased to inform you that, in accordance with your request, a sofa has been specially designated for your sole and exclusive use.
I'm very, very grateful. I should, however, advise you, Mr. Slope, that though I am so wretched a thing as to require a sofa, I am not so selfish as to require it all. But it is, of course, only men who can sit next to me. Ladies' crinolines are so bulky.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I was extremely sorry to hear of your unfortunate accident, Signora Neroni.
Well, it was more than 6 years ago, Mr. Slope, so I am beginning to become accustomed to it.
Might I ask the Signora...
My sister severely damaged the sinews of her knee while ascending a ruin in the Forum Romanum, and it appeared as a result that she was immobilized.
Oh, how very distressing.
Yes, not least for those who have to carry her. Straight on here.
Yes. This way.
You are right, madam.
There is the sofa, Signora.
You are most kind.
Excuse me, what I say?
Signora Vincineroni?
The bishop, Signora.
Enchanted.
Are you perfectly comfortable, Signora?
Perfectly.
He has spoken with you tonight.
Well, yes, Papa, he has, but I meant last Tuesday, Papa, when he came to see me.
Mr. Slope came to see you, my dear, for what purpose?
It was merely a social visit, I suppose. He had very kind words to say about you, Papa.
Oh, did he?
He holds you in the highest regard, not least in respect of your musical talents. Papa, I know that Mr. Slope is not thoroughly liked in Barchester, but I sincerely believe that his character has been mistaken. The sermon he gave...
Yes?
He intended no personal disrespect by it.
Well, I'm not certain, but I fear he intended disrespect to the Church of England.
But perhaps he thought it his duty, Papa.
I do not see that politeness should be excluded from religion when we expect it in other areas of life.
No, Papa.
But this is intended to be a pleasant occasion, and I do not wish to talk about the matter further. Let me tell you instead about the hospital.
The hospital, Papa?
I have been informed that the position of warden is to be offered once more.
Papa?
Not at £800, at £450. That is the figure decided upon by this new Act of Parliament, which has also, I am pleased to say, increased the allowance to be given to the beadsmen. Oh, and there are to be beads women, too.
Women?
But I would be responsible for the old man only, if I am given the job, that is.
And will you be, Papa?
Well, it seems quite likely. It's the bishop's appointment, but Dr. Grantly is of the opinion that, given the manner of my resigning, and given the new basis upon which the hospital is to be settled, Dr. Proudie would have little choice but to offer the position to me.
And you would take it, would you not, Papa?
Oh, yes, Eleanor. Yes, I shall accept the post if it is offered, but I shall not seek it. I shall not ask it as a favor from the bishop.
No, Papa.
Particularly if the granting of such a favor is a matter to be settled by Mr. Slope.
The Bishop of Barchester, I believe. I fear my sister's put you all to a great deal of trouble.
Your sister...
Disrupting the proceedings, monopolizing the furniture.
Oh, your sister... No, not a bit. We're delighted to have the Signora Vicinerone with us. And your good self, too, Signora.
Thank you. I believe you've not been in Barchester long?
No, not very long.
Is there that much to do here?
Oh, indeed. Yes, the work of a bishop, you know, carries great responsibility.
Really? I ask because I once thought of being a bishop myself.
Did you?
I became a Jew, though, instead. Oh. My father might have been a bishop if he'd stuck at it. But I suppose he didn't like saying the same things over and over. Have you met my father?
No,
he's here somewhere. Tends to hide when my sister does her impersonation of the Queen of Sheba.
Perhaps I shall come upon him. And I suppose, if you'll forgive me, Signora, that I really ought to be circulating.
Oh, that's all right. We'll circulate together.
Oh.
My lord?
Yes, my dear.
Did you tell Mr. Slope that I wish to see him?
Yes, my dear.
Then why did he not do so? Mr. Slope, it seems, is in dereliction of his duties.
Oh.
Ah, Signora Neroni, I believe.
You are correct.
I'm so very pleased that you're able to, despite your impediment, to be with us tonight.
Well, I'm pleased too.
My lord the bishop and I are very keen
would
to
you
make...
Excuse me, Mrs. Stroud.
Slope at last.
A sweet sherry for your good self, Signora.
How very kind.
Mr. Slope.
Your good health, Mr. Slope.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Slope.
Mrs. Proudie.
With no disrespect to Signora Neroni, there are very many guests present tonight who would expect to have the chance to converse with the bishop's domestic chaplain.
Yes, Mrs. Proudie, I suppose there are.
Oh, keen as one is to circulate, it's infernally slow work.
You will therefore have the goodness, Mr. Slope.
Of course, the cinema doesn't help. It's in the worst place possible.
You will have the goodness.
Bertie, what are you doing?
Mrs. Proudie, I think it might be prudent.
Hold on tight, then.
If you moved away from the sofa.
What?
I'm going to give you a little ride.
Oh, dear. You idiot, Bertie.
Oh, forgive me, Mrs. Proudie. Forgive me, please. I'll do anything I can to get the damage repaired. I'll fly to the rooms of the fairies if necessary.
Unhand my dress.
Please, madam, allow me to.
Unhand it, sir.
I'm trying to disentangle you.
What a disaster.
Madam! Madam!
Madam? Bertie, I think you should get up now.
Fixed it. Well, unfixed it.
My dear, are you all right?
No, Mrs. Proudie, this is so very...
Yes, Mr. Slope?
Very unfortunate.
Yes, Mr. Slope.
May I...
No, you may not, Mr. Slope. I will return shortly.
You must understand, my lord, that it was solely for the pleasure of meeting you that I have had myself dragged here tonight.
Oh, really?
In fact, it was my one consolation in coming to England at all.
I am most deeply, deeply obliged, Signora Vicinarone.
My lord, might I crave of you a great favour? I have a daughter, just 7 years old, who is all in all to me. Will you visit her, my lord? Will you lay your holy hands upon her innocent head and consecrate her for female virtues? Will you, my lord?
If she's only 7, Signora, then she is much too young to be confirmed.
Then will you at least talk to her? Will you teach her to lisp the holy catechism?
Well, I'll be very happy to drop by sometime and have a word with her. Where should I call?
Why, at Papa's house, of course.
Mr. Slope?
Yes, my lord.
Do you know who is the father of Signora Vicinarone?
You mean Vizi Neroni, my lord.
Vizi?
Her father is Dr. Vizi Stanhope.
Dr. Stanhope? Oh, I see. I suppose, therefore, that the fellow who caused all the upset with the sofa...
Dr. Stanhope is his father, too.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Slope.
My lord.
So, a madman accosts me, a lady pleads with me to save her daughter from sin, and it transpires they are both of the family of my own canon in residence. I have a good mind to be angry.
Are you an enthusiast of Sabbath day schools, Signora?
Oh, I am, Mr. Slope, most decidedly. In my opinion...
Mr. Slope!
In my opinion, nothing is more important in this world than that tiny, ignorant minds should receive enlightenment.
Mr. Slope!
Mrs. Proudie?
Mr. Slope, you are making yourself neither very sociable nor very useful this evening.
Forgive me, Mrs. Proudie, but I think Mr. Slope has been eminently sociable. As for usefulness, he has already brought me a drink or two.
And as soon as the Signora has finally decided upon her supper, I shall...
No!
No, Mrs. Proudie?
No!
You will not take this lady her supper. You will not wait upon her. I cannot permit you to be so employed.
Then must I go without?
Oh, of course you must not, Signora. The Signora cannot go without her supper, Mrs. Cloudy.
Well, if I am not to go without, I have decided I shall have some chicken, please, and a little ham.
Certainly, Signora.
That's so kind of you.
Not at all.
Mr. Slope! Mr. Slope, you shall not fetch that woman her supper.
Dear me, I wonder if she's always like this.
Oh, yes, madam, always. I am always the enemy of impropriety and insolence. Mr. Slope!
Well.
You shall not do this, Mr. Slope. You shall not flaunt my wishes.
She is lame, Mrs. Proudie. She cannot move.
Oh, I'd make her move if she was anything to do with me. She is a painted Jezebel, Mr. Slope. And I am exceedingly surprised and disappointed that you should wish to do favors for her. Anyone would suppose, Mr. Slope, that you had become her lover.
Her lover? Good gracious, my dear madam, she's a married woman.
Well, that's more than I know, though she may choose to pass as such. I am better acquainted with the feminine gender than you are, Mr. Slope, and you may believe me when I inform you that whatever her status may be, the Signora, as she likes to call herself, is not a fitting companion for a strict evangelical unmarried clergyman. Your attentions towards her are improper, Mr. Slope, and you are thereby giving offense in my drawing room. Do you understand?
I understand very well, Mrs. Proudie.
I am pleased to hear it.
But the lady must have her supper somehow, must she not?
Mr. Slope!
Will you excuse me, Mrs. Proudie? I spoke with the bishop at the party and told him that I would take the wardenship if it were offered. So this morning, you see, I must discuss the matter further with Mr. Slope. In the note he sent me, Slope called himself my assured friend. I wonder how many assured friends I have in this world. Very few, I imagine. And I very much doubt whether Mr. Slope can truly be counted among their number. What does he think has passed between the two of us to allow him to claim this relationship with me? A quarter to ten. An assured friend, having called me to his room at an early hour, would at least do me the courtesy of being punctual. This room has changed. Everything has changed here. Just a few months ago, I regarded the bishop's palace as a second home. The bishop's servants seemed as close and as dear to me as my own relations. And the bishop himself... Now, he truly was an assured friend. He's gone. And I too, who knows, will not be that much longer in this world. Must leave it all. Leave it to younger men. To wiser men, perhaps. Come, come, Septimus Harding. This is but an old fellow's melancholy. What use is your religion if you cannot apply it now? Trust in it, Septimus, as you have urged others to do yourself.
Mr. Harding? My dear Mr. Harding, I'm so sorry I'm late.
Oh, well,
diocesan business, I'm afraid. Now... About Hiram's hospital.
Yes.
And the wardenship thereof.
Yes.
First, income. I suppose you are aware that £450 is the most that you can expect.
Yes.
Secondly, duties. Previously, as far as I can understand, it can hardly be said that there were very many duties.
Really? Well... Such duties as there were, Mr. Slope. I carried out to the satisfaction of the late bishop.
Oh, I'm sure you did, Mr. Harding. I'm sure you did. Mr. Harding, you are aware, How could you fail to be? The things are a good deal changed in Barchester. Things are a good deal changed in the world at large. There are demands for efficiency and value for money. New measures are being taken to eradicate indolence and wastefulness, to obtain adequate work from those who receive wages, to dismiss those who fail to give such work. Things are a good deal changed, Mr. Harding, and the useless rubbish of centuries past is being carted away.
You have turned down the wardenship, Papa.
Yes, I have. Well, that is, I think I have. I'm certain Mr. Slope believes I've turned it down, or believes he heard enough from me to present my words in such a way. I am rather of the opinion, dearest Susan, that he wanted me to turn it down and goaded me into doing so.
But, Papa, if you are prepared to live with the reduced income...
There are other conditions, my dear. A Sabbath day school, for instance, is to be attached to the hospital.
What, for the old men?
No, Susan, for the children of the poor.
Oh.
And there are to be morning and evening prayers, two services on Sunday and one in the week.
Could you not have endured these extra duties?
Perhaps I could. Perhaps it was as much the manner in which I was told of them that I could not stomach. Mm. Dear Susan, it seems that I belong with the useless rubbish of ages past. I am fit only to be carted off to the dump.
Papa, what a thing to say.
What a thing, indeed. Oh, God forgive me, Susan, if I do him an injustice, but Mr. Slope strikes me as somewhat obnoxious and unpleasant, crafty with it, and his craft, I fear, has had some success with your sister, blinded her to his unpleasantness, and convinced her that he is good and meek and charitable. He's called on Eleanor a few times, you know.
Has he, indeed?
Most recently, I gather, he spoke to her about the wardenship. Presented the new terms so prettily, it seems that Eleanor was quite taken. All but promised to become a teacher at Mr. Slope's new Sabbath day school.
Well, we can only pray that crafty Mr. Slope is not quite crafty enough. And that Eleanor is not persuaded to make a more binding promise.
Susan. You mean marriage? Mm. Marriage to Mr. Slope?
It's not improbable, Papa. Mr. Slope might well consider it an agreeable prospect if he knows that Eleanor's income is £1,000 a year.
No doubt. No doubt. Oh. Oh. Marriage. So soon after John Bold dying. And to Mr. Slope? The only man in the world whom I suspect I really don't care for? Oh, Susan!
In all honesty, Papa, I don't suppose that Eleanor's even begun to think about it. But the chances are that Mr. Slope has, and he'll do more than think about it if we don't take care. Ah, that is the Archdeacon returned.
We will not raise the topic of marriage, if you please. But I suppose I must tell him about the wardenship.
They can't do this, Harding. They can't turn a warden into a Sunday schoolmaster. Proudie can't do it. Proudie's chaplain can't do it.
Not even Dr. Proudie's wife?
Not even her. None of them.
But surely, Archdeacon, the bishop has the power to appoint whomsoever he pleases.
Well, my dear, I don't know about that. Let him try it and see what the newspapers will say.
The newspaper? Oh.
Mm. Yes, Harding, I fancy we'll have the popular cry on our side for once.
Oh, I'd as soon not have the popular cry on any side if it means that my name must be brought into it all. I've no wish to be paraded, either as a monster or a martyr. I rather think, Dr. Grantly, that we should forget the whole thing.
Nonsense.
I'm getting old.
Absolute nonsense. You're not old. But you are as timid as ever you were. Harding, it is your duty to resume your place at the hospital, and if you do not do so, your conscience will never forgive you. Clearly, it is Slope's intention that you should refuse the wardenship so that he may give it to some creature of his own. He wants to show his power and insult us all by insulting you. You owe it to us all to resist him, and you owe it to yourself, Harding, not to be lily-livered.
Archdeacon!
Lily-livered?
I doubt, though, if there is any true courage in squabbling for money.
Perhaps not, Harding. But it is a wicked world we live in, and if honest men are not prepared to squabble for money, the dishonest men, I fear, will get it all for themselves.
I assure you, my lord, Mr. Harding rejected the offer absolutely and unequivocally.
Well, I'm very surprised, I must say.
Well, you wouldn't be, my lord, if you knew these people better. Grantly, Harding, they all have made up their minds to oppose your authority.
But when I talked to Mr. Harding at the party, he seemed so keen to win back the post.
He is keen, my lord, but only if he can hold it without acknowledging your lordship's jurisdiction.
Oh, well, I think that is out of the question, is it not?
It most certainly is. Hmm. The wardenship must be offered to a more deserving man.
Indeed.
How with the rector of Puddingdale, for instance?
Mr. Quiverful, my lord.
Ah, of course, Mr. Quiverful.
He would be far more appreciative of the income, too. I mean, he has 14 children, my lord.
14? Well, yes. Let us offer the wardenship to him.
This is quite definite, is it? Quite definite. I'm afraid Mr. Harding couldn't accept the post's new conditions.
I see.
Naturally, Mr. Quiverful, the same conditions would be imposed upon yourself. Look, you were to become warden.
I'm sure they won't present a difficulty.
Warden, Sarah! No, that won't do!
Respecting the income, Mr. Quiverful, it is much reduced from what it was. But I don't believe you would find the amount unhelpful in your particular circumstances, Mr. Quiverful.
Oh, I'm certain I wouldn't. 14 children, Mr. Slip.
So I understand.
7 boys, 7 girls.
Oh, a nice balance.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that my need...
Jane, I have a job for you.
And Mrs. Quiverful's need is greater than Mr. Harding's, at any rate.
Oh, undoubtedly.
See, I mean, why should he trouble himself with Hiram's hospital when he's his daughter's money to call up?
Mr. Harding's daughter? Which daughter are you referring to, Mr. Quiverful? The Archdeacon's wife?
No. Mrs. Bold, the widow.
Oh, really? How much?
$1,200 a year.
$1,200?
Yes, so I understand.
There. The Bishop of Barchester. What do you think, Charlotte?
Oh, heavens!
What? Looks too much vacuum, you mean, or not enough?
Oh, it's very much fit. The unwell bishop.
Do you suppose he'd buy it from me?
He might, so he could destroy it.
Oh.
You haven't done very much, Bertie, about getting commissions.
Oh, you mean for my sculpting?
Hmm.
Well, who is there in Barchester who'd have his head done in marble?
Mr. Sloop.
Oh, heaven forbid. You see, I'd be all right in London if the governor would give me enough to set me up in a studio.
Bertie, Papa wouldn't give you a shilling to set you up. Mm. Papa hasn't got a shilling. I fear you must face the truth, Bertie. You'll never make money from artistic endeavour.
I agree. In fact, I don't think I can make money from any endeavour. You see, Charlotte, some people have a gift for making money, but they don't know how to spend it. And there are others who have a talent for all sorts of outlay, but just can't earn a thing. My genius puts me firmly in the latter class.
There is one line of business you might be able to pursue.
I doubt it.
With help, I mean. I have a plan, Bertie.
Dearest sister, when did you not have a plan?
Well, someone in this family must make plans.
Yes, dearest sister.
Someone must prevent us all from falling into beggary and disrepute.
Yes, dearest sister. Well, what is your plan?
You must marry a woman with money.
Well, I won't marry a woman without. Any particular one in mind?
Yes, Bertie. The widow, Mrs. Bold.
He's a great big naughty boy.
He is big, at least.
I shall have to send him away to a great big romping school where great big naughty boys get punished.
And where they can't wreak havoc with their mother's beautiful long hair.
Mrs. Bold, may I ask you a plain question?
Certainly. And I shall give you a plain answer, or none at all.
Oh, well then, it relates to your father. Is he, do you suppose, genuinely anxious to take up his old position of warden of the hospital?
Why do you ask me, Mr. Slope? Why don't you ask my father?
Oh, my dear Mrs. Bold, perhaps it is all my own fault. That sermon I gave. Alas, alas, that sermon. It appears to have quite prevented your father from meeting me on amicable terms, so that, though no one can esteem Mr. Harding more than I do, I fear the feeling is not reciprocated. Mrs. Bold, in spite of the sermon I preached, in spite of all my delinquencies, you have allowed me to regard you as a friend. To you I can speak openly. Therefore, Mrs. Bold, the situation is this. The bishop thought it right that this matter of the wardenship should be conducted through me, and so I spoke with your father,
yes.
And at the end of the interview he gave me to understand that he declined the appointment.
No, Mr. Slope, not the appointment itself, the new conditions, the Sunday school.
Oh, Mrs. Bold. Oh, no doubt, the fault was mine. I spoke with too little caution about the school, perhaps because I had already spoken about it with you, and you had shown such enthusiasm. Anyway, your father became, shall I say, a little put out, declared quite emphatically that he would not return to the hospital if the proposed conditions were attached. So when I advised the bishop of this matter, the bishop decided he had no choice but to offer the position to someone else.
Someone else?
Yes, to the rector of Puddingdale, Mr. Quiverful.
Mr. Quiverful?
Yes.
And has Mr. Quiverful accepted?
Yes.
Oh. Well, that is the end of it, then.
No. My dear Mrs. Bold, not so. It is not the end of it. And it is because it is not the end of it, dear lady, that I am come to see you.
That was episode 1 of Barchester Towers by Anthony Trollope, dramatised for radio in 3 episodes by Martin Wade. Septimus Harding was played by Alec McCowan, Eleanor by Juliet Aubrey, Slope by Simon Russell Beale, Mrs. Proudie by Rosemary Leach, Dr. Grantley by Stephen Moore, Dr. Proudie by David Horovitch, and Madeline by Belinda Lang. Bertie was played by Michael Cochran, the Bishop of Barchester by Peter Howell, Charlotte by Patience Tomlinson, Mrs. Grantley by Jilly Bond, Dr. Stanhope and Sir Lambda Mew-Mew by Stephen Critchlow, Sir Omicron Pie and Quiverful by Jonathan Keeble, and Mrs. Quiverful by Zulema Dean. Barchester Towers was directed by Cherry Cookson.